Welcome to That's Not How a Baby Sleeps, the podcast where parenting meets hilarity. I'm your host, Alicia Daishon, and I've got the fantastic Eleni Katsinis as my co-conspirator in all things baby and toddler sleep. We're not your average sleep consultants, no cry it out nonsense or sleep training at all for that matter.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Oh, very good. How was your weekend?
What did I do over the weekend? I don't remember. good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a good weekend. We had our nephew's birthday party. It was nice. Oh. Like, I don't know. It's a blur.
It's been a few days now. We had a pro D day yesterday. So Alan was home and I had a babysitter come over. And Luna had a half day of daycare as usual. And then I picked her up. And then Maya continued to kind of watch them throughout the day, which was nice. So today we wanted to chat a little bit about just solo parenting. I had kind of gone through solo parenting this past week with my husband being away for work, and I'm going into it again this weekend because he's going on a 3-4 night guys trip. I am not looking forward to. I'm very happy for him. Can you tell how happy I am for him?
Fun for him, not fun for you, but yeah. And yeah. When he comes back, you'll go on your solo trip.
And that's another thing we want to talk about today too, is just like how to prep for that. Because I know recently you've done it a couple times where you've left Nora with Dave. And I mean, I feel the same way about Lane. I can leave the girls with him, no problem. But I've never been away from either of them for a night in almost, I guess she'll be 6 in the fall. I've never left either of them.
Oh, wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy? And it's not like out of a trust thing. It's just, I just have never done it. I've never had a desire to. I'm a total like homebody, but now that like, I don't know, he's going on one, I'm like, oh, like I should plan something. So I've been talking about going over to the mainland and seeing my girlfriend in the city and staying with her for like 1 or 2 nights and like just having like a nice like weekend or something. But I want to do it when the weather's a little bit nicer.
Do it. Definitely plan it. Do it. It's so worth it. It's so fun. Or even just, if I don't know how you are being by yourself, I always say like, I want to like go book a hotel or a spa by myself one night. I probably never will, because I think I'll get lonely. I know a lot
I would feel lonely.
I mean, I'd be good for like an hour. Like, all right, now I want someone to hang out with, or like, I would just want to call people. Like I did my trip by myself. It was like a 2-hour drive, not even bad. I was so lonely for the 2 hours of driving.
I always call people in the car.
Gosh, you're so used to being a mom and being with people all the time and always hearing noise. So like in the car alone, I'm like, I want to be with someone. And car, like road trips are a little boring to me, especially if I'm by myself. So I'd rather be like with company.
Totally. Yeah. I think I would enjoy the silence for like maybe a couple hours tops. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm kind of bored now. And I think I've always been the type of person that like, we've had people offer to take them. And I have a whole thing about sleepovers. My girls have never had sleepovers anywhere. And I still, even like with grandparents or anything, I'm just like that. I'm that mom. But I've never had a desire to, like Lane and I have never had a desire to like go away by ourselves, because we're both so like, I'm so obsessed with our kids. Like everything that we do, we'd be like, oh, this would be so much cooler if like Aylin was here, or like Luna is here. Like we're just those parents. Like last night we were up watching videos of the girls. I was looking at videos of Aylin when she was Luna's age, and I was pregnant with Luna, and I was just like melting. We sat there for like an hour. We were trying to watch Game of Thrones, because he's already watched that, and now he's trying to get me into it. And I always fall asleep. And sure enough, we watched videos for 45 minutes, and then I just fell asleep within like 10 minutes into the episode. So he was mad at me, but I just love. I'm so obsessed with my kids. I'm that mom. So
it's a season of life. Like right now. Don't want to do that, and that's totally fine. And one day you'll have an empty house, and then you'll have all the time in the world, you know. So it's like, I feel like every mom and their journey is so different. Like a lot of moms crave that time away.
That's okay.
Exactly. Or they crave it together as a couple because they really need it. But like, you guys are so solid that like you're okay.
I know. I think that has a lot to do with it. Like we're very, very comfortable in our relationship in like a positive way. We just figure it out. Like, I just don't have any doubts in my mind that my relationship is is struggling at all. But I know a lot of people when they first have kids that it's a huge change for them, and it's a shift in their relationship, and they do. I think it also too depends on your love language, and we've talked about that and stuff too. Like I just don't feel like our love languages like require us to do that. Like I don't know. We don't feel like we need to do that much right now. It's just a season of life. But I know with like you guys, like I know Dave, your love languages are different than Dave, which is always so funny, but I know he like physical affection contact is like big on him, and you're like, I'm touched out, don't touch me.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's not your love language.
I appreciate the quality time with Dave and Nora. And like, it'd be cool to like, Dave and I never been away like without Nora either. Like, we just haven't had the opportunity to. We were always nervous to, but we're going away next month for a wedding for one night.
Eight, but yeah.
Nora's 4 years old. So like, I think I'm more comfortable now. We're going to drop her off at Dave's parents, and like, they're going to have a fun sleepover. Even Dave's mom's like, I'm just going to put a bunch of stuff in the living room, like blow up mattresses, pillows, blankets. We can like fall asleep to her watching a movie. She doesn't want to attempt like a bedtime routine that you guys do. Cause like, she wants it to be fun, you know, and it should be fun, you know, grandparents sleepover. I mean, what did you do as a kid? Sleepover cousin at grandparents' house, right? You stayed up late, you ate a bunch of snacks, you know, like I want her to have that experience, and I think she'll have a lot of fun instead of like
that's great.
Really missing us and stuff.
Yeah, no, that'll be good. What are like, cause you've obviously left her, like what are some things that you have done? I mean, now she's four, so it's a little bit easier, but what are some things like how young was she the first time that you left her for the night? Was
so
it more last year, right?
Yeah, last year she was just turned three and I left her for the first time, and I just potty trained her, just taught her how to use the potty. So I was like so nervous to leave her, but it was fine. It was my sister's bachelorette, so like I really wanted to go and I was super excited. But before that, like with you, it just never an opportunity came for me to like leave. And it was fine, like I was fine without leaving her, and I breastfed her for so long too, so that was a big reason. Even though you can still leave your child if you're breastfeeding, but for my situation I didn't. So I stayed for two nights, and I left her like notes each day to like open them when she woke up or like throughout the day, and I left little presents, you know, to make it exciting. And it was a beautiful weekend, so Dave kept her really busy. He did a good job. I mean, they went to bed late each night because it was nice out, but like she just slept in bed with him, and that's when she wasn't sleeping in bed with us. And then after that, it was kind of hard to get her out of bed.
Was it?
But we just kind of embraced it and like didn't change it. And then when it stopped working for our family, we changed it, you know?
Yeah.
So it went as good as expected, you know. I'm really grateful that it went so well because I was so nervous leaving. But I always tell families like, it will go a lot better than you expect it will go. Mm-hmm. Like, especially I feel like moms are so anxious when babies are younger and they can't communicate. I mean, our daughters can communicate, you know, how they're feeling and like talk to us on the phone if they want. I know a lot of families don't even do phone calls or FaceTime because it's too much for the child or too much for the mom to deal with. So, but yeah, I mean, it went well when I came back, and she was very, very clingy, which I expected, you know, she like needed that contact and closeness from me from all that separation, but that like subsided pretty quickly because I'm with her all the time anyways, but she saved all her big emotions for me.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I know you had that a couple weekends ago when you went away for one night, you got home and there she was.
Dave's like, she didn't have one temper tantrum when you were gone. I'm like, okay, number one, you were at your parents' house because we want to get her used to sleeping there. So he slept there with his parents, and she did great. She was very busy and had a lot of fun, super tired, and like he had the mental and physical support of his parents. Even though if he didn't, I know they would still do great, you know. Totally. So
but But you're a primary caregiver. You get met with all those big emotions. I mean, I see it all the time when I pick up Aylin from kindergarten and even like Luna from daycare. They're like, oh yeah, she's just so wonderful. She never does anything like that. And then the car ride home is like, I'm going to pull my hair out. I love the notes. That's such a good idea for bridging that separation and stuff when you are leaving your kiddos solo. We have, like, I've never left them, but Lane has had to leave them on multiple occasions, sometimes for work, sometimes for extracurricular activities. And we've been building things into our routine when he does do that. And she is obsessed. She'll take his cologne and spray it like on her her tortoise, as she calls her, this like this little purple turtle that she has. We recently got these new like quilt blankets from Lulu Lollipop for the girls, so I know she's gonna spray that this weekend. So she really like connects through scent. They did matching. Well, they weren't matching, but we have like a whole bunch of like temporary tattoos. And she put an Elsa one on and put an Olaf one on his arm. He kept it kind of hidden
Oh,
because he was like, I don't want an Olaf tattoo visible as I'm working. But yeah, it was super cute. So they did like lots of these like little connection activities and stuff before. And she actually did really, really amazing this past time. She was so helpful. It was really, really good. But there was definitely some hiccups with that, some tears, some blood when I was solo with them.
I was taking a shower, conditioner in my hair, and I just hear this like blood curdling scream. And Aelin runs in and she's got her hands under her like this, and there's just blood pouring out of her nose. But she goes, "Luna punched me." I'm like, "What? Why?" She goes, "I don't know." I'm like, "Baby," and she's like, "Is everyone?" She's like a blood. If she sees blood, she freaks out.
Oh
Like she
yeah.
sees. She gets a scratch and she's like, "It's bleeding. Like, look, it's red." I'm like, "That's not blood, girl." Now she knows what blood is because I don't think she's had something like that bad. And I just like, I'm like soaking wet, grab toilet paper. I was like, "You have to take some deep breaths, even though you can't breathe through your nose. You need to like calm your body down because the blood, your heart is beating fast. You're scared. So, you know, you're panicking. You need to just sit down and relax." And she's like, "Okay." She's just holding it on her nose. And I just jumped back into the shower and like finished washing my conditioner out and then got out and then like went to deal with Luna. 'Cause I'm like, "What is going on here?" And I go and I'm like, "You hit your sister." And she goes, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Why?" And she goes, "She wasn't, I want to watch my show." I'm like, "So you punched her in the face?" Like, my
She
goodness.
punched her that hard that she made her nose
It
bleed.
was, I asked Aelin today, I was like, "Did she like fist you or like was it open?" And she's like, "Oh no, she opened palm, beamed like heart right in the face." I'm like,
Especially the nose, you can just like, I can
oh,
see just a
it was
nosebleed come
just
from it.
so
Oh.
bad. And I felt so bad at Aelin. And I first I talked to Aelin. I'm like, "Look, you know what? Like her behavior, completely unacceptable. She should not be hitting you, anyone at all." And then we went into like the conversation about impulse control. I'm like, not there in Luna's brain yet. Like, she didn't do this because she hates you. She did this because she can't control her body and we're working on it. And she's like, "Okay." And I was like, "It's not because she just wants to be mean to you." So, like, I think that helped Aelin understand it. Still not okay. And I had to have a conversation with Luna after, but I'm just like, "What is going on right now?" It was just so nuts. And like, Luna, I talked to her after and everything and was like, "Hey, like you can't hit your sister. Like that's not nice. Like if you want something, you ask for help or you ask Aelin to help you." But she's like a hitter. So, and but not at daycare or anything, just at home. Like she, when she's having big emotions, like that's what she's been trying to do lately. And I'll, you know, do the usual, gently take her hands. I'm not gonna let you hit her. But now I've had to coach Aelin in that now too, because Aelin will just sit there and take it. And I'm like, "Hey, you need to defend yourself a little bit. Like, I'm not telling you to hit her back. I'm not telling you to push her, but like, we need to protect your body as well. So, like, if you need to hold her hand and yell for mom, like, do that kind of thing." And she's like, "Okay, mom." She's like, "But she's," I'm like, "She's fast. I know it's hard to do."
He's back.
She's fast.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, we've had lots of big emotions this week with Luna. And I don't know if it has to do with like Lane being away or what, but Aelin's been wonderful, wonderful. She's been so helpful and like trying to like, we've had a talk beforehand, like, "Hey, I need your help with Luna," kind of a situation. And she's been really good. But yeah, Luna's been, I pick her up from daycare. She's like, "Oh, she had an amazing day. She's so great." And then like everything comes out to me. And yesterday we had an instance where she started like, well, you know, she's a headbanger. Her new thing now when she's upset is hitting herself in the face
Oh no.
aggressively. And I'm like, "Why? Like, why are we doing this?" Like, it's so
Her
upsetting.
big two feelings are like coming out. Like they already did, but it's like even more so. And she's just trying
She's
to figure out
really
how to deal with it all.
trying
And
to deal
she's
with
just
it.
more aggressive.
Yeah, very aggressive. And, you know, I'm short fuse this week just with everything that's going on in parenting solo, but
Do you think she's doing like a, I mean, obviously, maybe not, but like, do you notice with either of them, they have like those attention-seeking behaviors? Like, you know, especially because you are solo, and like, not saying that you do or not, but like, you know, give attention to one girl more than the other, or just like, yeah, this and that, oh, you know, it's sure. Like, yeah.
100%. Yeah. Luna's been very, like, she's vocal about it. Aylin's always been.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's less vocal about it. She's more, I'm going to act out to get the attention. And we've been having more conversations around that lately, and just saying that you want attention, which is fine. I don't care. I will meet that need. But with Luna, I feel like she's more vocal about it. Like, if I'm on my phone, she'll be like, hey, I'm talking to you. And I put my phone down. You out. Yeah, I'm like, okay. But it's just so funny coming from a tiny little 2-year-old saying that. So, yeah.
But I take a very, like, lazy approach when I am parenting solo. Like, there are just, like, some things that I don't do. I make things as easy as possible on myself. Like, anything, for example, like dishes and stuff, anything that can, like, go in the dishwasher without being ruined, it goes in the dishwasher. Like, I'm not washing dishes. I only wash the ones that, like, I absolutely have to. Dinners are incredibly low maintenance and easy. It can be anything from, like, a slow cooker meal to here's some cereal and fruit. And despite serving easy meals, I still have, like, a written meal plan for the week. So my husband will, like, prep everything before he goes. So I just, like, throw the meals together. And then I have, like, lunchy type things prepped, because I do have to prep lunch for kindergarten and then lunch for daycare as well. And the house is likely a disaster when my husband gets home. And that's just how it is. The house is not my priority when I'm solo parenting. I'm focused on them and connection time, because they both struggle so much when he is away. And if I'm busy doing house things, then we all end up struggling in the long run, because they're craving that connection time and stuff with me. I do try to, like, if I do have to do house stuff, like, incorporate them in, but, you know, Luna's just not into that right now. Aylin is into, like, helping and cleaning and stuff, so it's good connection time for her. But I think you and I both know that, like, adding children into household chores, like, it takes the household chore takes a lot longer, stuff like that. So I tend to avoid it. And yeah, the house is just a disaster when he gets home, and I don't care. Because, you know, I want to make sure that I am really focusing on them. And I find that, like, when I am focusing on house stuff, and Aylin said to me before, like, oh, like, all you do is, like, clean. She's referred to my husband as the fun one. You remember that when he went away for work last time? She's like, I did a whole bunch of, like, fun activities for her. Like, I was like, oh, like, cool, we can, like, set up a picnic downstairs and, like, watch a movie on the projector. And I was getting her into the car one day, and she was kind of like, oh, you're doing all this stuff because the fun one's away. I'm like, oh, you're so mean. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, usually the moms are the boring ones.
Yeah, like, you're so boring.
But I mean, obviously we're fun in different ways, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna miss out on that when the fun one or the dad's away.
I think it has so much to do with, like, the imaginary play. Like, my husband's so good at that, and I'm just, like, not. I don't enjoy it. I'd rather do, like, activities or, like, you know, play a game or something. We actually got her a little, like, mini kids sewing machine over the weekend.
Cute.
And I've been doing that a lot with her, so yeah, she's been really enjoying that, because that's obviously way more up my alley. I like being creative and doing art and stuff with her. But we do get a lot of questions around, like, parents tackling just bedtime solo, and it can be really tricky. I've even had people reach out to me and being like, well, yeah, that's why I had to sleep train my kids, because I need them to fall asleep independently, because I have to do bedtime solo by myself. And I understand that, like, having a child say, hey, like, let's go into your room now and go to sleep. Like, that makes the whole tackling bedtime solo with multiple children so much easier. If you have a child that falls asleep independently, I don't think that you have to lean towards a sleep training method to achieve that. There are some things that you can do to set boundaries and still kind of support your child through that without, you know, a traditional sleep training method. But some things that I've had to do personally when my husband has been away for work, when putting Luna down to sleep when she was, like, a small infant and Aylin was, like, 3,
Some things that we have done is like baby wearing. It can be really great if you have like an infant and a toddler, if you need to get them to sleep at the same time, or if you need to get your infant down first while still tending to your toddler or older child, that can be really helpful. And then also if you're breastfeeding, you can nurse in the carrier while supporting your older child to sleep, and you can still kind of be present in the room, even if you're not laying down with them, you're like standing up still in the room. The bed sharing aspect is also a really helpful one. This is kind of what we do now that bedtimes have kind of lined up with the girls. I mean, Luna does, depending on what time she wakes up in the morning, she sometimes does go down earlier than Aylin, which has been helpful. But laying down with both kids and supporting them to sleep together, depending on your sleep setup, you can choose to do that in like your sleep space. So having both the kids in bed with you and then just transferring them to their own sleep space once they're asleep. Or if you're like me, I just make them both sleep in the room with me because I don't like sleeping alone when my husband is away. room sharing, that's also a really great way to tackle a bedtime routine together. You can have your older child lay in their bed while you rock or nurse to your younger child to sleep. You can lay down with your oldest if they're still awake. Sometimes I would find that Aylin would just like fall asleep while that was going on. Another option too is just staggering bedtimes, which you might need to adjust naps to achieve this. Try supporting your younger child to sleep first and then having your older child do a quiet activity. Tony Box, the little like thing, the screen-free toy is really helpful. What is the other one? The Yodel player. That's really good. Did you guys end up getting a Yodel player?
No, we never got one. I'm leaning more towards the Tony Box. I mean, I hear great things about both of them, but I just think the characters are super cute, and I think she would enjoy that more than like the Yodel player cards that I've seen. You know, I think just she's so into characters and so into like the shows, she would relate to it better than the cards. We just haven't gotten it. We just haven't gotten. I'm kind of waiting for it to go on sale.
Yeah. Don't be like me. Don't miss the sale when it does go on, because I did that for Christmas and then ended up paying full price in US dollars for it. Because I made my mom drive over the border to go get it for me. But yeah, like listening to some music or have them listen to like an audiobook. Those are really great options for having your child kind of entertain. I will say that before we had the Tony Box, and even sometimes now, like if I'm putting Luna down first, Aylin will watch a show or use her tablet. She's not affected by screen time before bed. I know Luna and other children 100% are. I know Nora, screen time before bedtime usually results in like night terrors, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you really have to kind of figure out what works best for your unique child. And then once your younger child is asleep, depending on like the timing of your older child's bedtime, it can be really good for like a little bit of like one-on-one connection time prior to kind of settling them down to sleep. So that's a really good option too. I find music just as a sleep association is really helpful. And then layering in like a sleepy song playlist for both of your kids, they can kind of develop the same sleep association, and then you can utilize that when getting them both to sleep simultaneously. Did I say that right? Simultaneously. Simultaneously.
Now you're making me double think it.
A lot of the time in these situations, you do sometimes have to have boundaries in place. So for example, if you have an older child who's used to having you lay beside them, you might have to have like a discussion with your older child about either falling asleep more independently or just staying extra quiet until you're able to actually like lay down with them. But yeah, those are kind of some things that I've recently done with my kids. Another thing that I did when I had Luna, when she was like really, really little, Aylin would go to sleep earlier than her. Now things have kind of switched for us. Aylin always went to bed earlier because Luna was still napping. Now that she's not napping, they either go to bed around the same time or Luna will go down a little bit earlier. But I would lay down with my body in my bed and have Aylin right beside me. And I would dangle my feet over the edge of the bed, and I would have Luna in the bouncy chair, and I would just use my feet to bounce her to keep her happy while I would support Aylin to sleep. So that's another, you know, creative technique that you can use as well.
And I feel like every mom will just do their thing, you know, just like you created your thing and you kind of get used to, especially if you solo parent like often, you just like figure it out, you know, and just like, I feel like just don't have many expectations either, and don't feel like you're failing at all if you have to like pull out the screen time or like think about like this is survival mode and survival. You do what you have to do to get through the time. And hopefully if you have a villager support, obviously call on them. But I feel like a big thing that we do too, like I know our partners are involved in bedtime, but whoever you're leaving the child with or vice versa, you know, like if you're leaving overnight or your partner is leaving overnight, whatever, like prep that nap and bedtime with that caregiver, you know, like make sure that they're used to you like coming in for bedtime and nap time. Like if it's a whole new thing that like your partners never help with sleep, or if for any reason you never help with sleep, which is very rare, then obviously prep a lot, you know, before the person actually leaves, because then it's gonna be like such a shock to your child's system if you don't have that at all. And just like obviously older kids, you can talk to them about it. They might still be upset and have their tears, and it's okay to have that. They're gonna be supported by somebody that cares about them. So just I guess something.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. We've talked about this a million times with supporting emotions. Like tears are okay as long as they are being supported by a regulated caregiver, whoever that is. Ideally we'd want it to be somebody they already have an attachment relationship to, but you know, it's 1,000 times better than leaving your child to just cry alone. We never want that. And then, you know, if all of these tactics fail, just get in the car and go for a car ride. I did that twice last week. That was another tactic. I was like, I don't really feel like doing bedtime. And Luna's like on the cusp of like, we realized she needs like a 13-hour wake window. Like that is the sweet spot. If you push it out, like if we hit 13 and a half, like she boop, just gets a whole little burst of energy and becomes overtired and hysterical and difficult to put down. So I'm like, I don't even want to risk it. Yeah. You know, I have had my ups and downs with getting her to sleep since I stopped nursing to sleep. And I just did not want to deal with it when my husband is away. And we might do some more car rides this weekend. She's actually starting to develop an association with the car, which I'm like a little worried about. Like last night, Lane was about to put her to sleep. And she's like, no, mommy, I want you to take me in the car and put me to sleep. I'm like, oh, crap.
But yeah, whatever. That's another thing to think about is like, if you do something different, partner's gone, like okay, we're doing this because you know daddy's not here, mommy's not here, like whenever Dave like hangs out with a friend overnight, daddy's not here, can I sleep in your bed? And I was like, well, he is coming back, and like obviously accept her in her bed, but I always want her to start in her own bed. I don't want to, you know, sometimes you don't want your kid to start in your bed, so
yeah and that's usually how it goes with us.
You just set the boundary, like no, we're not taking you in the car. It's just always sometimes, and your kids are good at understanding those boundaries and like moving
absolutely on. Yeah, and to touch on boundaries as well, just like if you are a parent who has to solo parent for bedtime regularly, like it is okay to work on having your child fall asleep more independently. It's just a very, very gradual process, and you would have to probably have a lot of support while you were doing it, and I would do it before, you know, your partner is going away and everything. But one thing that we like to do is obviously we layer in tons and tons of associations, but thinking of associations that you can gradually kind of like peel back like an onion, just many layers. So like, for example, if your child or your older child is used to you laying beside them, layering in associations like singing a playlist, stuff like that, maybe rubbing their back, things like that, so that you can move to a place of like, okay, hey, I'm going to sit on the bed with you instead of laying beside you, and I'm going to utilize these other associations for a while. And then, you know, maybe eventually you get to a point where it's going to be like, okay, I'm going to leave the room and I'm going to come back and I'm going to check on you. And this is not like a Ferber style situation. That's not what I'm recommending at all. If your child gets upset when you leave, we're not there yet. Like they are not ready to fall asleep independently at that point in time. But one thing, I guess we call it pop-ins, I guess, but I hate it because it kind of gets clumped together with the Ferber situation. But, you know, saying, you know what, mommy has to go pee really quick. Get up. You don't actually have to go pee. And just stand at the door and just wait. And you have to return. Like we have to make sure that we are meeting, doing what we say we're going to do. So come back in and be like, oh my goodness. And then you can, you know, you can praise them and stuff. And then you can stay with them and still support them to sleep that time, but then gradually build up on those pop-ins, and stuff. And ideally your child would eventually fall asleep independently. And then you can talk to them about that in the morning. It's like, oh, mommy went and checked the dishwasher and I came back and you were sleeping all by yourself. Like you did it all on your own. And really give them that praise for that and that confidence that they can, you know, gradually, very, very gradually start to do it on their own. And this might be like a 2-month process. Like it's not like something that is going to be like, oh, we're going to do this for a week and you're going to magically be falling asleep independently. Like it is very normal for children, young children, older children to still need help falling asleep. I know neither of our girls have ever just like laid down and gone to sleep. We have supported them to sleep this whole time. But that might not be an option for a lot of families. So there are options that you can utilize to eventually have your child fall asleep a little bit more independently. And it doesn't have to be a sleep training approach. It can be, you know, a very gradual, gentle approach. And even if you have them fall asleep fully independently, there are going to be times where they're going to need you again.
Yeah.
So don't get caught up in bad habits or feeling like you're going backwards. I think once they've done it a few times and stuff, you can gradually kind of get back to that. Even if you have little spikes of like separation anxiety where they need you a little bit more, don't be afraid to add more contact. That's just going to give them more confidence to know that they can do it independently eventually. Especially too, like when you are parenting solo and just having those conversations with your older children. That was definitely something we focused on this week, or this past week, was, you know, kind of amping Aylin up, being like, hey, I need you to really help mommy. Like, you know, we have to, this is the goal, like working as a team kind of a thing to help get Luna to sleep. And she was amazing. She was so, so, so helpful. And in other situations previously, when I've had to parent solo, she, and this probably had to do with like connection time and just her dad being away and stuff, but she would like look me straight in the eyes and then ramp up Luna, and I'd be so triggered by it, and then everyone would be crying.
Exactly.
So yeah, definitely different things that you can utilize if you are parenting solo yourself, or if you are leaving your child with a caregiver.
Like you said, don't think you have to sleep train or that you have to stop a certain sleep association before leaving.
It's not necessary, especially for like a couple nights.
Yeah.
I have to do this because my partner is going to be alone, or I have to night wean because my partner is going to be alone. Like even if your child won't take a bottle, you can still offer them an open cup or a straw cup with milk or whatever overnight. Yeah. Your partner will figure it out. And I think having confidence in your partner that they can do it, that their child has an attachment relationship with this person, they can figure it out and develop something that works for their family. First night might suck, but you know, it allows them to develop associations with your child. It's a positive thing, I think.
Absolutely. And like you build up your partner's confidence too. Like, yeah, you can do this. Like, I believe in you. And then like, they're going to feel calm and confident before leaving. If like you're leaving your partner or anyone, a caregiver, then they're super stressed about it. Your baby's going to feel that stress. Even if you don't even talk verbally, say the words in front of them, they will feel your stress.
Absolutely. Like, and really allow them to develop something that works for them. Because yeah. I think a lot of the time it's like, here, this is the strict routine. This is what I do. These are all the things that they like. And it's like, yeah, it might be helpful to know those things,
but
you don't have to do things the exact same way. Children develop different sleep associations for different people. It can be the same with routines and stuff as well.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to connect with us beyond the podcast. You can find myself on all social media platforms at moonbay.sleep. And for more parenting and sleepy goodness, hop over to Instagram and follow Eleni at EleniCats. Until next week, keep embracing the chaos. And remember, you're doing an amazing job, even if it doesn't feel like it.